All right, welcome back. My name is Tarek. Lively bunch.
Hey, Tarek.
I want everybody to take a few moments to center yourself. And I really want you to observe the silence within yourself. And I want you to watch what's going on. Watch for what's happening in your internal space right now. Examine your body, your physical body, your thought life, and let's get centered for a few moments. And this is part of the 10th step. I think it's about observing your internal space. So let's take a few minutes and just observe what's going on within yourself. Imagine what your interactions with people would be like if you could actually do that as you engage them in conversation, to really observe your internal condition. This 10th step is not about writing inventory, guys. Bill Wilson confuses everybody, I believe, when he writes the 12 and 12. He really talks about the 10th step as a spot check inventory, an assets and liabilities inventory, and an inventory at the end of your day. But when the 10th step was written in the big book by a collective consciousness of 100 individuals, that's not the way it's laid out in the book. For me, this 10th step's about, how do I stay awake throughout the course of the day? How do I bring what's going on inside of me out into my relationships? That's what this 10th step's about. And so throughout the 10th step, you're given strict spiritual disciplines that you can practice. It's an amazing process. So in the 10th step, it is the ability to go to that place within yourself and bring it out into the interactions you have with those who cross your path throughout the course of a day. The thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and we continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we clean up the past. We've entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. So the first question I typically will ask a guy I'm taking through the steps is, growing and understanding what? And effectiveness where? To me, it's understanding the spiritual realm and effectiveness in this human realm. Two different things. You know, my existence, I drift between spirit world and material world, or the theater of the lie. I get caught up in my stage characters and what they need to have in order to exist. And then I drift back into this spiritual realm where it's God-centered, and it's not driven by my greed or my selfishness or my fear. So I need a step that helps me navigate, because the reality is you're going to drift between both worlds. So we need a set of tools to navigate. Ideally, I'd like to live in the spiritual realm 24/7, but that has not been my experience. So this is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. So continue implies I continue to do this as I go along. So what's the first spiritual discipline? I watch. So this, when we started this group, that's what I wanted you guys to do, is watch what's going on inside yourself. How do I get present right now and observe my internal space? Because that's what the 10 steps about for me. So I've got a guy in here that I'm taking through the steps. We get to the 10th step. I ask him to get a bunch of 3x5 cards, and I want you to write this word watch. I want you to put it on your nightstand. I want you to put it in your car. You put it on the refrigerator, in the kitchen, wherever you can. I want that word watch. Put it on a 3x5 card. Put it in your pocket. And I want you to work with this for the next couple of weeks. That's the spiritual discipline we're going to engage. Watch. Observe. Observe your internal space. The ever-present guardian of your internal space. What are we watching for? Selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Those are the watchwords. They block us from spirit. We completely become identified with our minds when we're driven by those things. So we need a spiritual practice to watch for them. It says, we ask, when these crop up, they always will throughout the course of a day, we ask God at once to remove them. The practice, the next practice, so he finished working with watch, and then it was ask. All right, the next 2 weeks, ask goes on all the note cards. Now we're going to practice watching, and when they crop up, let's take a deep breath and turn to God and ask at once for God to remove them. In our circle, this next concept that we work with is a pretty important aspect of this. We discuss with someone immediately. So we have what are called 10-step buddies. So I've got a group of men in my life that I'm completely 100% transparent with. Look, because of the work I do outside of the steps, I'm convinced that the power of God is attracted to authenticity. When you get a group of men sitting in a room, so I've got a group that meets every other Sunday morning. It's five of us. And we compare notes about how we exist in this human body and our interactions with other people and our ideas about God. And we will read some text out of some religious books, and we start bouncing ideas back and forth, and we do some meditation and some prayers, and the presence is so strong because of the accountability and the authenticity in that space. It's palpable. You can actually sense it, taste it, touch it, see it, all of it. Okay? But it stems from this desire to show other men all of me. So I discuss on a very frequent basis how I'm existing, what my struggles are. I don't hide this stuff, especially from this group of men. And ultimately, after I take a man through the steps, I become pretty damn transparent with him as well, with all of them. This idea, and we're going to get to this in step 12, but this idea that I'm the sponsor and I have to walk in front of the men I sponsor and I must always be the teacher, I think is horseshit. This is about walking shoulder and shoulder on this journey, hand in hand in the spirit, and seeing what happens, having a dialogue. How are you experiencing God? This is how I'm experiencing it. Let's compare notes. We make amends quickly if we've harmed anyone. So there are some words in there, immediately and quickly. And then in the next spiritual practice, which is turn, that'd be the next word to write on a note card. Let's turn. It says turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Turn back to the task at hand. I'm at work. I don't need to drop everything I'm doing and call my sponsor. I need to turn my thoughts back to the activity at hand. Right, I'm sitting at home with my wife and daughter. My mind is just work. It's work is on my mind. I take a deep breath. I am with Marcy and Callie. I need to be present right now. Turn your thoughts back. That's how I practice a 10th step in that aspect of it. Turn my thoughts back. Who can I immediately help? I can pay attention to my wife and daughter, and then my mind wanders again. I'm going to turn my thoughts back. All right. I'm driven by fear. I take a deep breath. I get centered again. I ask God to remove the fear, direct my attention to what you would have me be. The fear comes back again. I gotta call Brandon and see what's going on with this. Okay? Or I gotta call Carl or Scott. You know, I've got a handful of guys that I'm gonna call if the things continue to show up. over and over. And then we practice a code of love and tolerance. But it goes much deeper than that, because the next sentence is, we've ceased fighting anything or anyone, even drugs and alcohol. For by this time, sanity... We're seldom interested in drugs and alcohol. If tempted, we recoil from them as from a hot flame. So the spiritual practice now is to stop fighting. How much of our suffering is directly connected to how much we resist what's happening in front of us? So a lot of times it's a moment by moment surrender. So those are 6 or 7 spiritual disciplines that you can attempt to practice with this 10th step. This idea that the 10th step is a daily inventory, it is. It's a walking around inventory. My spiritual barometer for fit spiritual condition is how I interact with people. So how do I have a practice that helps me cultivate deeper and more meaningful relationships? This is part of it. It helps me stay awake and stay alert and bring God into all my activities. As you continue to read, it says we react sanely and normally, and we'll find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude towards drugs and alcohol has been given to us without any thought or effort on our part. Our thought and effort throughout the step work is not about not drinking and not using. Quickly, it becomes about removing those things in our path that are obstacles and keep us disconnected from power. It just comes. That's the miracle of it. I'm not fighting it, neither am I avoiding temptation. I feel as though I've been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. Position of neutrality is one of the most difficult things to practice on a continuous basis, to be neutral and not to have some sort of demand or intent on what you want to have happen in a specific situation. Position of neutrality is also what I experience around the first. So I'm driving down Boulevard and North Avenue. The thought, you know, that's where I used to hang out. I used to hang out in the crack houses down there. I knew a lot of people down there, and so even to this day, I drive down North Avenue and I get to Boulevard, and the idea of smoking crack comes into my mind. But being in fit spiritual condition, I literally have to do is take a deep breath, and whatever God is comes in and moves the thought away and keeps me safe and protected. That's a position of neutrality. I experienced that. I have a wife who is the HR manager at Sweetwater Brewery. I have cases and cases and bottles of alcohol at my house all the time. She likes to smoke pot from time to time. I'm totally cool with it. Position of neutrality. How much do you trust your God? Do you trust Him to protect you in situations like that? He protects me. I do all the things I used to love to do. I still go to concerts. I'm around people that are doing all kinds of drugs, mind-altering substances. They cross me. Sometimes I even have to hand them joints and hand them bags, and it doesn't bother me. Position of neutrality. I'm in fit spiritual condition. I'm not there to get some vicarious pleasure out of it. Position of neutrality. I'm not avoiding temptation. Neither am I fighting it off. I'm safe and protected. I have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. What's the problem? The problem is the illusion that I have a choice. It no longer exists for me. So you guys have heard me tell us, you know, when I wake up in the morning, I don't choose not to get high today. I didn't choose not to drink today. My intellectual sorting out process on a daily basis never includes alcohol and drugs. It's not along the series of things that cross my path that I have to make choices over the course of a day, never include drugs or alcohol. Like I said, I wake up in the morning, my options are pray and meditate. Maybe I want to take a shower first, then pray and meditate. Well, today I'm going to skip prayer and meditation because I want to spend some time with my daughter, because that's a little bit more important to me this morning. That's more of a sign of fit spiritual condition than of whether or not I pray and meditate. Oh, option D. Should I smoke crack today? No, it's never on the table for me because I'm in fit spiritual condition. The illusion that I have a choice has been removed. The intellectual sorting out process of accepting and rejecting options does not include drugs and alcohol for me today. It doesn't exist for me. I'm neither cocky nor am I afraid. This is my experience. This is how I react so long as I keep in fit spiritual condition. It's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on my past accomplishments. I'm headed for trouble if I do, for crack cocaine is a subtle foe. I'm not cured of addiction and alcoholism. What I have is a daily stay of execution, contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. And this is the last discipline that you can practice going into this 10th step. What we really, every day is a day when I must carry a vision work of God's will into all my activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with me constantly. I must exercise my willpower along this line. It is the proper use of the will. All of these that I just mentioned, so watch the internal space. When things come into the space that block you from conscious contact, I ask God at once to remove them. I discuss them with someone immediately if they continue to come back. If I happen to become driven and I harm someone, I make amends quickly. I don't wait till the end of the day or the end of the week. I make amends quickly. I stay present. I stay clean. I practice a code of love and tolerance. I resolutely turn my thoughts to someone I can help. Immediately, quickly, resolutely, all of those words imply that I'm moving throughout my day and I'm practicing these things. Position of neutrality. Cease fighting. A vision of God's will into all my activities. So we work with this thing called scripting, where I create a vision about certain areas of my life and what I want them to look like. And this has been fascinating, and I'm going to get into this probably in a little bit in the 11th step. All of these, they culminate in you honing and polishing your sixth sense, God consciousness. If you put them all together, that's what you're really polishing up here. Intuition. Intuition. So you can hear that still small voice when it gives you direction and you don't discount it. This is the 10th step. The most difficult step to practice. It is you've heard me use this word over the weekend. It's an abyss. This 10th step, what you can do with it, it has no limitations. And if you go to a meeting of AA or CA, and you ask who prays, every hand in the room is going to go up. Who prays and meditates, maybe half the room will go up. If you ask who prays, meditates, and works with vision, very few hands are going to go up. And all three are in our big book, right there in the 10th step. Every day is a day where I must carry a vision of God's will into all my activities. Okay, and I'm going to get into a little bit of that. I'm going to let Brandon's going to cover step 11. I've got a few things I want to say about that, but. You go.
So, third step, we make a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of this thing. Should we talk about receiving a 10th step call?
You go ahead.
All right, so it occurred to me through an experience of talking with Tarek and some other people that we talk about how to practice the 10th step ourselves, but we never talk about how do you receive a 10th step call? Because, I mean, the third instruction, discuss them with someone. How do I do that? How do I listen with someone, right? So, most of us, if we're calling somebody, we've already accomplished the watch. We know something's going on. We may not know what that something is, right? If I'm calling you, I'm burned up, I'm pissed off. I've identified I'm pissed off. May not know why, but I'm calling you, right? Now, guys that are early in sobriety, they get a little bit of pass on some of this stuff because they need a little more attention and they like to whine more. But after they've been around a little while, they call me. One of the first things I do when they call me is, when you prayed and meditated on this, what came back? Well, I didn't. Okay, well, I'm busy right now. Can you go, like, at least summarize it a little bit? Because a guy will call me, and I always know when a guy's trying to get me to... I'll change it. I always know when I'm trying to get Tarek to buy my bullshit because my story gets really long of, like, well, so let me tell you what happened. So, like, there's this background story, there's this backstory, this... But if I'm ever telling a backstory on a 10-step call, I'm full of shit. I'm just trying to get you to believe what I'm saying is correct. Backstory doesn't matter. Tarek's real good about it. He says, I don't have time for this shit. Tell me what the problem is. Okay? So, if I haven't prayed and meditated on it, I don't know what the problem is because I'm going to be wrapped around the axle. So, you pray, you meditate, call me back in 10 minutes. I will be waiting for the call. Usually, the guy's yelling, screaming, bitch this, you know, son of a bitch that. I get him back 10 minutes later. Hey, it's me. What's up? Well, when I meditated on it, what I saw was that this was going on and they hurt my feelings here and everything else. Now we've got something to work with. Okay? So first instruction, receiving a call is, did you pray and meditate on this? Now there are times where the person can't. I called Tarek one time and I was so pissed off at Carrie that like he answers the phone. He's like, hey, I'm on a date with my daughter. Can I call you back? And I'm like, I need help right now. I'm going to kill somebody. And he's like, okay, what's up? So I tell him what's going on. And then he asked me like two or three questions. And one of which is, well, did you ever talk about the or what's supposed to happen in this situation with her? No. Okay, so you're pissed off at her about an expectation that you didn't share with her. All right, thanks for listening. Talk to you later. Well, then the other thing he said is, this is the other part of receiving the 10-step call is, did you say any of this to her? Oh, no, I was just thinking. He's like, okay, so you don't owe her an amend. He's like, did she feel your energy? No, I stayed away from her. Okay. So when I'm receiving a 10-step call, I'm listening, listening to what you're saying, but I'm also listening, has he harmed them yet? Has he harmed them yet? Okay, I can help you with this, but here's what you got to do when you get off the phone. Is you got to call them up and you got to tell them that you need to make an amend. Oh. And then if they're really jammed up, I'm like, well, you know, is there somebody else that you can call and see if you can help? Usually a lot of the amend goes back to, if I'm willing to do something at work because my boss is an asshole and then we identify it, the turn part sometimes is go do what you were supposed to do. You're turning your thoughts to somebody else. I'm not self-absorbed anymore. I'm not consumed with what's going on in my head. I can actually be of service to other people. So that's just a quick how to receive a 10-step call. There's a lot to that, and it's difficult to do because you call me, I want you to like me, and I might try to buy some of the bullshit that you're selling me. But if I do that, I'm killing you. It is never my job to agree with you. If I call my sponsor and I'm wrapped up with around the axle on something and he agrees with me, I'm fucked. I need that person. Where are your troubles of your own making? Where are you being selfish, dishonest, all these things, okay? So when we've done this, we know what this is about. We've gone to this power in the second step. We've asked this power for help. Fourth step, we've identified the things that we're doing. This step, somebody else has helped us share some light on it. Sixth step, we've become willing to get rid of this crap. Seventh step, we've asked to get rid of it. Ninth step, we've started to see how our actions affect other people. To practice the 10th step without doing all those other steps, it's almost impossible. And to practice the 11th step without a daily practice of the 10th step is difficult. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation, right? I think most people believe that it says just prayer, like Tara talked about. Little reading, simplicity. Be aware of spirit. Isn't that simple? No, let's reduce it more. Be spirit. Why go through all the rigmarole? Why endlessly examine scriptures and debate obscure actions and long dead saints and equally dead works? We need to affirm experience over words, individuality over dogma. After all the study of spirit, there should only be this simple conclusion. There is only us and spirit. No. More simple still is to be spirit itself. Then everything is spirit in everything that is spirit is us. Those who follow spirit reduce everything in complexity until they reach a final, irreducible conclusion. You are spirit. When you can be that without any contradictions, then you have truly achieved sublime simplicity. 11th step. We've emphasized all weekend long that the whole purpose of the steps, the whole purpose of our existence, is that God consciousness, to get to that place. It's not about not drinking, it's not about not drugging, it's about getting to a place where you have developed a relationship with this power such that you have no desire to drink or drug anymore. So that you're so connected with spirit world things that it's a great... I mean, Danny captured the high that you get from experiencing the spirit at a high level is better than any dope he's ever done. Amen. And we have all these practices. We're incredibly undisciplined, and we don't like to do any of them because we don't like to do anything. We just want shit for free, right? Like donuts and pizza and all that other stuff, and that's what makes it fun, right? But the evening review, optional practice, right? You don't have to do this stuff. There's no use in it. If you watch my actions, that's what I'll tell you. But the craziest thing is that when I do an evening review on a consistent basis, my life becomes so simple. Now, I like to write my evening review out because I've had experience where I can go back and read that evening review and some magic stuff shows up. Okay? I'm not going to go through all the questions because they're right there in the book, but I like to do also, as part of my evening review, is set an intention for my plans for the following day. I write out my schedule for the next day. And I do that for multiple reasons. If I wake up in the morning and that alarm goes off, I do not want to get out of bed most days. And because I like sleeping, especially now. It's cold and under the covers, and it's like, oh, yeah, Carrie wants to cuddle up a little bit. Oh, yeah, I like this, right? But if I have already planned my day for the day, the night before, I realize I don't have time for this slacking off. I don't have time for staying around. I mean, on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Fridays, I've got to get up. I've got to feed the pigs and the chickens and the bunny and do their water and all this stuff before I even get started with my day. If I decide to sleep in till 8, I ain't gone from the house until noon. It just can't happen with meditation and everything else. So I've got to get up, and I've got to plan that into my day. It was 2 weeks ago. It was a Wednesday, and I had a certain number of inspections I had to accomplish over the next several days. And I got to Tarek's house early before the launching pad speaker meeting, and I started kind of like figuring out what I had to do over the next 4 days and how I needed to do it. And the conclusion I came to after planning out the next 4 days was that I had to leave that meeting Wednesday night and drive to Charlotte and spend the night so that I could be there at 8 o'clock in the morning and start doing what I needed to do Thursday morning. Now, if I don't have a practice of evening review and planning my day, I don't realize I have to do that because I have to make all these stuff. I have to make a stop at North Myrtle Beach and Lexington, South Carolina, and Charlotte, do these inspections, do 6 other inspections, and pick my daughter up at 7 o'clock on Friday night. If I'm not planning my day, guess what? I'm somewhere on Friday going, oh, I'm not going to make it. So the evening review, to me, is vitally important to look at that element of the plan for the day. Plus, again, if we go back and we say that our thoughts are really prayers, and we have the ability to set our intention with our thoughts, imagine what would happen if my subconscious mind is busy while I'm sleeping, which it is, but let's just pretend that you don't believe that for a second. My subconscious mind actually has the ability to affect the way that my day goes tomorrow. I set my intention tonight. This is where I'm going to be at this time. I go to bed, subconscious mind has been programmed that that's what tomorrow is going to look like. My mind has my entire sleep to program the universe to make the C part just the right way so that things happen. Don't believe that it works that way? Try it. I will schedule my day out, and sometimes before lunch, I'll be 2 hours ahead of my schedule. How does that happen? Lucky? Coincidence? The more I do it, the more it happens. Subconscious mind works with universe, spirit world, things happen. Tarek's going to talk a little bit more about that when he talks about vision. So the other reason why I like to write out my evening review is there was a period of time back 3 years ago where I was calling one of my 10-step buddies, and I would call him, and one day, I guess he was busy, because he's not usually kind of snippy, but he goes, "You realize like half the time you call me, you're bitching about work?" Like, really? And he's like, "Yeah, almost half the time." He's like, "We might have a good conversation, the next one you're bitching about work." And I was like, I didn't know that. So that evening, I go back and I pull up my evening review for the last 90 days, most of which was written. And so, it was something crazy, like if it was a 90-day period, 46 of the days I had dishonesty, resentment, or fear around work. Huh. That's just a coincidence. That can't really happen. But when I do write out my evening review, I can use it as a tool to... I can use it as a tool when I go back and write inventory of who am I consistently burned up at? Let's see. Well, his name shows up. It's almost like I don't even have to use my mind to think about who I'm struggling with. I can just go back and look at the answers. So again, those of you that believe that you have to write out your evening review because it's a requirement of your program and it's you know, we're gonna skip over it and like try to do three of them in one day, it's worthless. Do it in the evening. I like to do it in the evening. Sometimes I'll do it at 6 o'clock because, again, I get to set my intention for the day. And then we have these five or six paragraphs that give us the instructions of what to do with the day. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. What if I don't have any plans for the day? How do I consider them? If I've written my intention for today last night, I have something to look at. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. The very first guy that started taking me through the book, he told me to start this practice. He told me to wake up and say, "God, please divorce my mind from self-pity, dishonest, self-seeking motives." I started doing it then, and I've done it most days since. My eyes come open, and I do that. Because I have actually screwed up walking to the toilet and wrecked my day in that 30 feet. Kicked the bed, then smashed my shoulder on this towel bar that I hate that my wife installed, and it's just, you know, then I become angry at her and pissed off at the world, and I'm sitting there peeing and I start laughing, realizing I've already pissed away my day. So I can actually screw up my day once my foot hits the ground. Done it. Then it goes on, as we go through the day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course of action to take. We may ask God for an inspiration, intuitive thought, or decision. We relax. These are some wonderful promises that we don't ever talk about in meetings. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. What used to be a hunch or occasional inspiration gradually becomes a part of the working mind. Is that possible? Being still and experienced and having made conscious contact with God, it is not probable we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. You know, the 10th step, 11th step combination of watching and being connected to intuitive thought actually makes my day worthwhile most days. the magical stuff that shows up over the course of the day as a result of being in conscious contact makes my day magical. There is magic going on around me constantly, and I don't observe it unless I'm paying attention and connected. Silence the mind through meditation, and I'm watching as I'm doing the 10th step. Being still and experienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We may pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. As you guys have heard all weekend long, I mock God constantly. My favorite story around this that I love to tell is that we might pay for presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Sometimes they come in the form of, I need to drive from Tulsa to Denver to have coffee with a guy in the morning. Again, that was mind. That wasn't spirit telling me that. That's why I need a 10th step, buddy. But this one was pretty cool. I had gone over, it was the Cumberland area, and I had gone over to have a meeting with a client, and then I had planned on going up to the Vaughn House to catch the noon meeting. But I was really, really early. And so for whatever reason, I went up to the next floor to use the restroom. And while I'm using the restroom, the quiet voice says, go out the front side of the building. Parking deck's in the back. Go out the front side of the building. Okay. So I go out. I open the door. I go out the front side of the building. I'm like, all right, God, I'm here. What do you want? I didn't get an answer, so I was like, all right, I'm going back inside. Put my hand on the door, and the thought says, go out the front of the building. All right. Okay, God, I'm going to go out here. So thinking it's an absurd action or idea, I'm like walking out, and I'm like, you know, God, what do you want me to see? What is there to see out here that you want me to go do? You know, mocking God, mocking God, mocking God. Can't be intuition. Got to mock God, right? And so then I like sit there for a second, and I'm like, you know, it's a beautiful spring day. They've redone the flowers. The air's crisp. Maybe I'm just supposed to come out here and observe God's ever-advancing creation that's upon me, right? And so I'm like, okay, well, I'll walk around the building to the back to go get to my car. So I start kind of moseying around. I'm staring at the flowers, and I'm, you know, observing things, listening to the birds, and I'm like, oh, this is great. Why was I mocking God? Slowly, this white pickup truck pulls up next to me. There's this older lady in the front seat, and she says, excuse me, sir, maybe you could help me, or could you please help me? And I'm like, aha, this is why God wanted me to come out here, is to help this lady, right? And so she pulls out a piece of paper, and she says, we're trying to find this address, and we can't find it anywhere. So I pull my phone out to start looking up the address. And I look at the piece of paper, and it says 3200 Cobb Galleria Parkway, Suite 200, Atlanta, Georgia, 30339. How can I memorize that? How can I know that that's the address, even today? Well, you see, that guy that I made amends to, that I worked for 7 years, when I was working for him, I worked at 3200 Cobb Galleria Parkway, Suite 240, Atlanta, Georgia, 30339. This lady was looking for the address two doors down from where I spent 7 years of my career. Coincidence? Probably. Coincidence that Spirit told me to go out that door, and that she was looking for the door to the suite two doors down? Highly unlikely. Something's going on out there, guys. Are you going to connect with it or not? So then we go on, and it talks about the instructions after meditation. There's all these loopholes that we may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped, talking about prayer. It's a huge loophole that you can walk through. I can ask for financial independence because I need to help pay for my kids' college and things like that. That's not a selfish request. Now, if I want a bunch of money so that I can go to the club and hang out and get what I want, selfish request. If I'm doing it with the intent of having others get some benefit from it, It's close, but it's a loophole. Okay. Also, further on, next paragraph, there are many helpful books also. I don't know what they're talking about. I've never read one book that has said the same thing that the big book says. Or pretty much all the books I read say the same thing that the big book says. The 11th step reading, the 11th step experience. I will read a book, and I am confident that this is the most magical book, and there will never be another book that talks about spirit in a way that makes sense the way that this book does. Magically, another book shows up. I read it, and I'm like, now this is the shit. There's not another book on the planet that will ever tell me how to experience God at a deeper level than this book. And then Tarek will say, hey, have you ever read this book? All right, I'll go get it. And so then I pull that one out. Or you go to a retreat and you've set your vision and intent to get this certain book that you want. And you get a different book and you're like, I don't want this book. But then you read it and you're like, wow, this is the greatest book ever. I didn't even want it. I wanted this other book. So Spirit has a way of putting these books in your life if you pay attention to it. And sometimes they will sit on your bedside stand for 2-3 years, and you finally pick them up, and you're like, why did it wait so long to read this book? As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful. Right thought, right action. Some more promises. We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, worry, anger, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. Guys, it is not easy to be up here for as long as we've been up here. It's not easy to sit there for as long as you've been sitting there. But, like, I got home last night, and I was just, like, zonked. This morning, I was zonked. But yet, I'm up here now, and I'm not doing what Brandon wants to do. Brandon wanted to sleep in and do all this other stuff. I'm up here doing this stuff. Somehow the energy's here. Somehow I'm engaged. Somehow there is spirit power flowing through me that allows me to keep having to check the time because I want to keep talking about this stuff. Because I want to go on and on. Guys, there's so much here. Like, we're not even... like. This session right now could last the entire weekend, and we probably would miss some stuff. Because the 10th step, the 11th step, good God, like, what is there not that you can do with this stuff? But the problem is that so many people never get to 10. They don't realize that the 9th step promises only come as a result of the 9th step. That the 10th step promises come as a result of the 10th step. And they want this stuff to magically appear when they're halfway through. Halfway through with what? Your life? Halfway through your amends, all of the promises will start generating because all the things that you're afraid of, you've cleaned up. All the things that you're experiencing, all the resentments and all that stuff start to go away. This stuff's all connected. And it says it in how it works. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The whole point of everything, ever, life, trees, kids, birds, is to find deeper spirit, to realize that you're connected with spirit in ways that you can't even imagine. I'm sure a lot of you guys have seen the movie Avatar where they plug their braids into these animals and they become one. Ain't that weird? How they talk to the trees and the trees communicate to the animals and the animals come and help them defeat the bad guys, right? That stuff's crazy. Study some American Indian stuff. That ain't crazy. The American Indians believed that you could not buy the land from them because they were the land. Where do we lose that stuff?
Thanks, Brandon. The 10th and 11th step are the juice in this program. They are the electricity And I'm a big proponent of this 12th step being just as electric. But the 10th and 11th step make me, the 10th and 11th steps make me a very, very, very effective sponsor because I practice these steps. And the 11 steps evolved for me. Like this year, the Upon Awakening has left me. I was for 8 years, almost every morning, I am doing Upon Awakening out of 86 through 88 and reading 84 to 85 and setting my intent with the practice of the 10th step. This year, it's my morning time and the middle of the day meditations and the evening meditations. It's really a lot about meditation for me today. And it's about my prayer beads. And I no longer, like, especially this year began with affirmative prayer. I was introduced to it in April, and I worked with that for a few months. But now I'm working with this idea that I no longer go to God in supplication. I don't need to ask. It's already here. Whatever.
Your thoughts or prayers?
Yeah.
Oh, weird.
Interesting. So I do monitor my thought life. I had a guy at a meeting tell me after he listened to me describe a 10th step, and he said, "I don't want to police my thoughts like that." I was like, "You ever think you need to police your fucking thoughts?" I do. I don't use the word police, but I like to stay alert and awake. In order for me to stay alert and awake, I got to know what the hell's going on inside, and that's what I'm out. I'm looking for things. And that's what the 10th and 11th step are. They're new language. The first nine steps are the launching pad into the world of the Spirit. And the world of the Spirit has a language. And the language is the 10th and 11th step. The first nine steps get you to the door. The door opens. You walk in the door. If you want to hang out and stay in the room, it's the 10th and 11th step. That's how we navigate through the spirit world. And so I want to tell a quick story about 11 steps. So, as you all know, the launching pad started earlier this year. It was born out of vision work in 2011. I began scripting. Scripting is a practice where you write out an area of your life as if it's already happened. So my prayers today is, God, thank you for my abundance. Thank you for the pain. Thank you for the sorrow. Thank you for the joy. Thank you for the prosperity. Thank you for taking care of my dad while he's battling cancer. Thank you for transitioning him to whatever is next. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's what my prayer life is about. I don't sit there and ask for shit. I just don't need to anymore. And this is really over the last 2 months. There's just no point. For me, it's just about, it's already here. It's already here. So I just act as if. So the launching pad was born in 2011. I began scripting. Time to time, it would show up in my scripting. In February of 2015, I went to my employer and I asked for a raise, and they turned me down. And I meditated over it, and I decided it was time for me to start writing up a business plan for this new venture. So I began writing this business plan. And I shopped it. I mean, anybody that knows me knows my business plan was very professional, financial projections, very meticulous, organized, all the marketing, all the strategic planning, all of it's there. I shopped it to a guy in Denver. He turned me down. I shopped it to a guy here in Atlanta. He partnered. And then I have two partners now. And so we signed a letter of intent and a confidentiality agreement. And then in August... Before August, I would go to my quarterly meetings at my job, and they would put up these five-year plans, and it always had me going, being promoted to like a district manager. And I began to live a double life because they would show the five-year plan, it'd have my name up there, but I know I'm not going to be here in 5 years. I know I'm out the door at the end of this year, and I haven't told them yet. And it really began to work on my spiritual condition. And so I went to one of my spiritual teachers and I asked him, and he goes, "You'll be compelled to be honest. You will be compelled to be honest." And I didn't really understand what he kept saying, that you'll be compelled to be honest. You won't have a choice. And so this was in late August, early September. I'm in my VP's office and he says, "What's going on with you? You know, I'd really need to know if you're committed, because we got these five-year plans we're doing." And I was compelled to be honest. I told him that I'm going to be resigning at the end of the year. I've I've been investigating starting a business, and this is what it's going to be, and I need to let you know. And he was very, very, very happy for me. But at the end of the meeting, he said, before you leave, I want you to tell me what number it's going to take to keep you here. And I developed a resentment, because in my mind immediately said, well, goddamn, if you had done this in February, well, this wouldn't have happened. But that wasn't what was supposed to happen. What happened is what happened. And so I completely ignored him. I said, I'm not paying any attention to this. I ignored him. So at the beginning of October, he had his quarterly management up in the corporate office in Missouri. And before he leaves, he comes into my office. He says, look, I want you to create your dream job with our company and how the money attached to it. When I go to Missouri, I'm going to try to make it happen for you. And I was like, okay. So I spent an entire weekend creating my own job description and the amount of money. I wanted $125,000. I wanted all this stuff in my job description. And I'll be damned, he gets back from Missouri and they pretty much gave me everything I wanted. And so now I have signed a confidentiality agreement. I have signed a letter of intent. Everything's ready to go for January 1st of next year to start this endeavor. And I start talking to Brandon about it. I talk to my sponsor, Scott, about it. Talk to my teacher, Gerald, about it. And I just don't know what to do. And so the prayer, in prayer and meditation, God, please provide me with some clarity. Give me some guidance and direction on what to do. And nothing, no answer, no answer would come. Then one morning, I said, God, will you please make it obvious? Make it obvious.
Scary prayer. Scary prayer.
And I withheld that prayer because I knew in order to make that happen, God's got to take something away to make it clear. And I said that prayer that morning, and as God is my witness, I go downstairs. My wife and daughter have already left for the day. Callie, my daughter, likes to draw and leave her drawings around the house. And I'm in the middle of the coffee table is one of her drawings. It's framed. It's on my desk in my home office. It's a white piece of paper. It's got all these stars on it in red. And it's got a box. And it says, follow your dream. And I immediately called Marcy. And I was like, did you put Callie up to this? And she's like, no, no, no. And so I waited for Callie to get home from school. I said, Callie, why did you draw this on this piece of paper? And she says, I was supposed to. And I made my decision based on that. Okay, I turned down.
You must be crazy.
that's what this stuff can offer you.
You, when you live in spirit world, guys, people are going to think that you're whacked out. Like some of the stories I tell, like I don't know, the property that I have my chickens and goats. Well, not goats yet; they'll be there by Christmas. And pigs on. We purchased 2 years ago. Struck a deal with the land seller that we would give him half the money up front. We'd give him half by the end of the year. And everybody, my parents, my wife, everybody was asking me, where are you going to get the money from? My response was, it'll show up. No. Like, where are you going to get the money from? Like, and then so as it's getting closer and the money hasn't shown up, like, wifey's starting to get a little bit concerned. Like, this shit's just not going to fall from the sky. What's your plan? You got to have a plan. I'm like, it will show up. I mean, like, guys, they think I'm kooky, right? I'm not kidding you. So a bunch of circumstances happen. We have to sell our current house before we can get our new house, and we have to move into an apartment, and it's delayed. We owed it by the end of the year, but we got them to extend it by a month because we closed on our old house on January 15th. I am not shitting you. The proceeds from the sale of the old house and the balance on the property is like within $300 of each other. Everybody was like, how'd you know? I'm like, I didn't. I had faith that it would show up because that's how spirit world stuff works. They still think I'm crazy, but it's okay because it's really fun.
I think that's all we've got on steps 10 and 11. We're going to take a short 10-minute break and wrap it up with the 12th step, and we'll try to cover that as quickly as possible and get you guys out of here by 115, 120. Thank you.